44 on your Monday morning. And yeah, windy over the weekend. Gusts hitting between 70, 80K in Regina. Some trees snapped. Saw a few pictures online of trees either snapped or taken down by that gusty wind. I was hanging on to my hat, I think, pretty well all weekend. Some smoke here. Obviously, the situation in northern Saskatchewan, yes, it's smoky. Air quality warnings are still up this morning. It was windy, and they had some much needed rain as well there over the weekend. And it looks like, based on what we've heard from Environment Canada this morning, our newsroom has talked to their meteorologist, and more rain is on the way for some of these areas. Joined on the line this morning now by 980 CJME is Will Manzik, and Will was up in that area for us in this past weekend. And before we get to the people that you talked to, give us a sense of what Batoche was like. This is where you were. You were in the community of Batoche, Will. Was it pretty smoky there when you were there?
It wasn't super smoky. It was probably smokier in Saskatoon and Regina than it was in Batoche, but it was super windy. Like, when I got out of the car, like, the door flew open. It was really rainy there too, so it was kind of almost, I mean, without the wind, it was almost what people were looking for.
Okay, so in terms of those you spoke with in Batoche, and there were more than 100 people, I think, is what you had said. They're from LaRonge, those evacuated. What are some of the things that they were telling you?
They were describing what it was like just kind of leaving LaRonge. They were leaving with flames around the community. It was like they could feel the heat from the flames as well. It was so, the smoke was just so thick that they had wet face cloth, so they were like not breathe in everything. So they were able to breathe while leaving. It was such a quick evacuation that some people just, all they could grab was clothes in a suitcase to get out. Some people, one lady I forgot to, like, they forgot her cat. They didn't bring any photo albums. They forgot their brother-in-law's ashes. Like, all they could bring was clothes. Then they went to Watrous, they went to Prince Albert, and then they finally got into Batoche.
980 CJME's Will Manzik on the line this morning. He was in Batoche over the weekend speaking to evacuees. How are people's spirits overall, Will?
I think they're up and down. Batoche is doing a good job kind of distracting people and keeping their mind off it, but it's always going to weigh, at least in the back of your mind. So when the lady I got there, spoke to got to Batoche, they got there Friday just before the Oilers game, so they had like a watch party to watch the Oilers game. They said obviously not the result anyone wanted, but it was nice to be able to watch something and kind of take your mind off it. They had a crib tournament. They had a sweat as well during the week, so it's a whole bunch of like different things. Some people are traveling to Beardies to do stuff, so it's just nice to kind of take your mind off everything that's happening.
Well, we appreciate your reporting for us, Will Manzik, 980 CJME reporter. Appreciate your time, Will. Have a good rest of your morning.
You as well.
I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun.
7:52. Hey, this morning I have a pair of Jim Jeffries tickets to give away. The comedian's performing at the Brand Center this Friday. The Aussie is well known for his stand-up on gun control in the U.S.
I've had people come up to me in my face and scream at me in car parks as I'm going leaving the theater, going, "You cannot change the Second Amendment." And I'm like, "Yes, you can. It's called an amendment." Like, if you can't change something, it's called an amendment. See, many of you need a thesaurus more than you need a constitution. And if you don't know what a thesaurus is, get a dictionary, work your way forward.
Now, if you want a chance to go to Jim Jeffries for free, listen up. Here's what we'll do. Text me your favorite joke. Text a joke in, along with your first and your last name, to 1-877-300-7275. We have a number of jokes that have come in over the last hour or so. We'll pick a winner from the jokes that we get, and we'll give those tickets away just before 8:30 this morning. Jim Jeffries this Friday at the Brand Center. Of course, a good laugh is what I think a lot of people need nowadays, especially with the wildfires. We just heard from 980 CJME's Will Mancic, who was in Batoche over the weekend. And, you know, as we heard him say, you know, people are up and down. You know, there are moments when you know, based on what he saw, that they feel, you know, lifted up. The communities are rallying together to put on various events for them. But at the same time, it's hard because they're thinking, is my home still standing? 980 CJME just spent the weekend bringing you live wildfire updates each day, Saturday and yesterday. The very latest information is part of our special coverage of the devastating fires in northern Saskatchewan. Over the coming days, provincial crews will scope out areas like LaRonge and Pelican Narrows to see if they're safe enough for the evacuation orders to be lifted. Of course, this is after rainfall this past weekend. Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency President Marlo Pritchard says the situation has improved around those two areas.
The evacuation is always community-led. It is we continually assess the risk. You heard Brian talk about us going into communities and demobbing some of our values protection. But we're also looking at other risks, making sure that the critical infrastructure, whether that be water, sewer, power, are on, whether there is any safety concerns around fallen trees or access, smoke. So we continually work with communities to, I guess, best determine when those evacuation orders can be lifted.
He says most people have already returned to the hamlet of Wayaquin. So some more good news there. This morning, as we come to air, there are 24 active wildfires burning across the province. Six of those are not contained. Now, Pritchard says the agency estimates several hundred structures have been lost across the province. He says on-the-ground assessments will help paint a clearer picture of that damage.
We know Daner Beach is probably the community that was hardest hit. East Trout was also another community where cabins and RVs were hit. So those are the two that we would say at this point in time were the hardest hit. But
yeah, anywhere between 10 and 15,000 evacuees in this province right now. They're in different communities. They're spread right across Saskatchewan, too. We have some in Regina. There are some in, well, Batoche, as you just heard, Saskatoon, Prince Albert. Many other communities are opening their doors. People are opening their doors for these evacuees. Coming up on Thursday, this Thursday, Rawlco Radio will be holding a Saskatchewan Day of Caring to help those impacted by the destructive wildfires up north. From 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening that day, all six of our Rawlco radio stations in this province will be accepting donations, which will go to the Red Cross, so we can help those families and individuals affected. Within about the next 10 minutes or so, we have to give these tickets away. A pair of tickets to Jim Jefferies. Comedians performing at the Brand Center on Friday, this Friday. There's still time to enter if you want a chance to go see him for free. Just text me your favorite joke. Text me a joke along with your first and last name to 1-877-300-7275. And again, we'll pick winner within about 10 minutes or so. Well, this morning we're getting the very latest from Regina Food Bank CEO John Bailey. Good morning to you, John. How are you?
Morning. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing well.
Very topical now. Wildfires. We have a lot of new individuals in across the province in Regina that, of course, haven't chosen to be here, forced from their homes because of those fires. What role does the food bank play in this?
Yeah, I think there's a couple roles that the Regina Food Bank's playing in this piece. And on the one hand, there's, I think that last I saw, 1,000, maybe 1,000 plus folks that are sort of registered and living in hotels or in supported environments. And for those folks, we're trying to actively be connectors to different activities, whether it be making sure that they have access to the basketball court and the play structure at the food hub so they have something for the kids to do, to trying to act as connectors to other events to sort of give some normalcy and something that sort of breaks the monotony of being away from home. And that's for the folks who are registered. For the folks who are coming up and they're still fleeing, they're still evacuating, but they're maybe not in that formal process because they have friends or family and they're coming here and they're sort of, let's call it sort of off that sort of core book of 1,000 plus folks, we're actually starting to see them come to our door, and we're willing to support, and we want to make sure, because while they're in our community, they are our neighbors, and we want to make sure they're getting fed. It's not uncommon to see that. What's uncommon is if it starts happening so early. So to have people start trickling in June is a little bit of a worrying sign of what the rest of summer comes, because, quite frankly, from the looks of things, folks are not going to be going home anytime soon as these fires are still going. So we want to make sure that we're there to support them. And again, in sort of two different lanes, one sort of an extra sort of community connection support for those who are already sort of grounded with supports from other organizations, and one for food support for those coming who have sometimes flee to situations where there's not actual supports for them. We can be that support on the food side.
My guest on the line this morning, John Bailey, Regina Food Bank CEO. John, there's a renewed focus on local everything these days, including food and drink. I imagine you guys are seeing that play out at the food bank.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the past couple of years, we've had a really specific local focus, whether it's ensuring that we have product from local farmers and local producers filling our hampers, and whether we can give it out as raw ingredients or as sort of finished products that we develop in support with the University of Saskatchewan. So that focus is sort of mitigating some of the direct impact. What we're really seeing now is with the off and on tariff situation is that our supply chain certainty in terms of costing is becoming a bit in flux, and it means that we have deals that we've worked out with suppliers that, quite frankly, they're starting to not be able to honor because there's cost. So the one that comes to mind is aluminum, where we have a company that gives us an incredible rate on Kansas soup, which is Campbell's. We buy direct from Campbell's to get it. And quite rightly, with aluminum tariffs, they're no longer sure. Now, they haven't told us the price is going to go up, but they're saying, well, we can no longer guarantee pricing, which means we now have to change our approach to sort of go, okay, how much can we pre-purchase? What does it make sense to pre-purchase? Does it change our buying cycle? Does it change our cash flow to make these purchases? And it just adds a level of complexity to actually procuring food, both on the donation side, but also on the purchase side. Is again, part of what we do is making sure we have the best prices possible to continue to stretch the impact of every dollar donated.
Feels like summer, and it almost is summer. I wanted just to check in with you to find out how donations generally are this time of year.
Yeah, I think this time of year we start to see a little bit of a decline in donations, and that's due to a number of factors, like in large part because people are starting to enjoy. It starts to feel like summer, and we brace for it in our planning cycle for this to be a little bit quieter. We're not in a mode where we're raising alarm flags about lack of support, but we are sort of in a quiet period for us in terms of that.
So how would you describe current demand right now?
Well, unfortunately, while we sort of plan for a quiet piece on the donation side, we're not seeing any sort of slowdown on demand. We're just finalizing our numbers for our fiscal year, and it looks like we're going to be up again. We're going to have passed the 220,000 points of service threshold. So for context, last year we were just over 200,000. So we're seeing increasing folks coming through, and that is a trend line that doesn't seem to be slowing down.
How is your volunteer base?
So on the plus side, we just had a year that's our highest in about 8 years in terms of total volunteer hours and total number of folks volunteering. On the downside, for us to be sort of where we want to be, we probably still need to add several dozen volunteers coming on a regular basis or several hundred volunteers coming over the course of the year. You can sign up for a volunteer shift right online.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you for your time this morning, John. Take care.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
Regina Food Bank CEO John Bailey.
And you can charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh.
8:23 on your Friday morning, on your Monday morning. I wish it were Friday. Still living in the past, man. Hey, this morning I have a pair of Jim Jefferies tickets to give away. We are going to give those. We're going to pick a winner right now. The comedian is performing at the Brand Center this Friday.
The thing about millennials, you're the worst people that have ever lived. The idea that you think taking a photo of yourself isn't, there's something not mentally wrong with that. And it's not just, that's bad. That's bad as it is. But the fact that when you take that photo, your next thought is, other people might want to see this.
Okay, so we're asking you to text in your favorite joke this morning. And we're going to read you, before we actually announce the winner, we're going to read you a couple that came in. And this is part of the reason why we wanted to do this. We wanted to bring you a good laugh this morning. So here are some of the texts that came in this morning, the jokes that came in. Did you hear about the actor who broke his leg on stage? He's still in the cast. Why was Cinderella so bad at soccer? She kept running away from the ball. And what do you call a fish with no eyes? Fish. But the winner this morning comes from James in Moosomin. And I believe, James, you've been texted his joke. I'm addicted to brake fluid, but don't worry, I can stop anytime I want. James in Moosomin, congratulations to you, buddy. Jim Jeffries this Friday at the Brand Center. And as I mentioned, our producer, Frank, should be in contact with you on how you can collect those tickets. I think a lot of people need a laugh these days. The wildfire situation up north. Some good news, obviously, over the weekend. Rain in a lot of the areas where the wildfires are burning doesn't mean the wildfires are now out, extinguished, and, you know, the problem solved. But it certainly helps firefighters advance in their efforts to try to contain these fires. 24 active wildfires this morning in this province, 6 are not contained. And I mean, we have 10 to 15,000 people out of their homes. Some areas, Wayaquin, for example, the evacuation order was lifted. So good news there. The rain over the weekend and really into today as well. We've been hearing from Environment Canada this morning, our newsroom. I talked to a meteorologist, and more rain coming for that area today. So that will certainly help. Again, what we've heard from the wildfire updates that 980 CJME has been carrying live for you most days, including over the weekend, this past weekend, Saturday and yesterday, is that, you know, they need several days of rain. One good rain, probably not going to do it. But if you can have 3-4 days of just kind of a, you know, or, you know, those weeks that are, it's everything just kind of constantly soggy, things that will help them make the most progress.